Well, hello to everyone on our Smash for our Smashy Business show. We have joining us Shahzad Younes, the founder and CEO of the famous Muzz app. And we have a lot of questions for you, Shahzad. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, not too bad, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So my first question is, what inspired you to leave a stable career in banking at Morgan Stanley to start Muzz Match?
It was kind of interesting. I had the idea, just a bit of a side project, back in 2011. You know, I'm a Muslim. I totally know the problem. You know, for Muslims, it's so hard to find a partner. All of my friends were telling me. And at the time, I thought, you know, I could build something. So I built back then what was a website in 2011, just as a side project. I was still in banking, and it was just a little thing just to help the community out. Fast forward to 2013, 2014, this was kind of the rise of smartphone apps. And I remember seeing apps on phones and I thought, oh my God, you know, Muzz, it should be an app. It's not a website. It's such a personal thing when you're messaging someone, when you're trying to find out and get to know someone. And that kind of light bulb moment for me was enough for me to think, you know what, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to build this thing and bring it to life. And I was convinced if I didn't do it and I didn't build this app for Muslims, somebody else would. And, you know, thankfully we were the first Muslim marriage app globally to launch to help Muslims find their life partner. Thankfully now we're the biggest in the world and we've come on such a long journey since then. But it's great seeing, you know, real people, you know, like, you know, family members find their partner and get married on Muzz, which is pretty amazing.
It is, but like you must have faced some challenges. So what are the biggest challenges that you have faced during the transition from your day-to-day job and to Muzz?
Yeah, I think obviously the biggest challenge I would say was actually learning how to code. So, you know, I effectively had a 9-year banking career, so I was fully in finance, trading stocks and shares. And when I had the idea for this, I was convinced, all right, if I'm going to have a tech company, I need to know how to code. I need to know how to build apps. So I actually learned, and I don't know how I did it, but I learned how to build Apple apps, Android apps, the website, the backend, all of that in about 6 months. You know, so thankfully, Muzz is the first and only app I've ever built. And you know, a lot of that is still the framework for how the app works today, which is pretty amazing considering we're 10 years old. But for me, that kind of pain, if you will, of learning was so important because now, you know, I'm able to talk to engineers about architectural and technical problems. I'm able to talk to customer support because I've done the customer support role as well. I'm able to work with the marketing team on different ideas and execution because I've done marketing as well. So hopefully I do think as a CEO, it makes me a lot more useful to the rest of the team. And it's helped to just guide us as we've grown as well. But no doubt that was the biggest challenge. You know, I remember working from this room, actually. You know, I'd wake up at 7 a.m. and I'd be coding until 2 a.m. You know, it was a very long day just coding away because I wanted to be the first one to bring this to life and get it out there.
Well, it's good. You do seem like you do have a lot of persistence. But starting the Muzz Match involved, of course, a lot of significant personal and financial commitment. If you could please share with us, like, some of the early challenges that you have encountered as a founder, and what were the key lessons you learned through the experience?
Yeah, I definitely say so. You know, initially, look, you know, when I set this business up, I saved up. So all of my savings from banking, I saved up to be able to quit my job to start a startup. So, you know, I was using my savings to pay for, you know, our servers, pay for a few bits on the marketing side. You know, even our first employee, I was paying their salary out of my own savings. So, you know, I had to go on that journey. You know, in 2017, we applied for an accelerator out in Silicon Valley, Y Combinator. And we were actually the first Muslim-centric startup ever to be backed by them. And, you know, those guys are a big deal. You know, they are behind Airbnb, Dropbox, Stripe. You know, they've got tons of startups in their roster. So for us to be in that company is a big deal. And thankfully, we then raised our seed round of $1.75 million in 2017. And then in 2019, we did a Series A of another $7 million. So, you know, we've gone on quite a journey, and that's allowed the team to grow. And it's allowed the business to be sustainable. You know, thankfully now we're a profitable business. You know, we're growing faster than ever, which is really good, particularly in the Middle East. So we've kind of navigated and scaled this journey quite well. You know, we're a team now from just me in my bedroom to now we're about 150 people globally, which is pretty incredible. Mm. You know, and I think that the app itself, you know, has well over 12 million members on there, which is again incredible. It's the power of the brand as it grows. You know, now most people know about Muzz. They know, oh, I've got friends, I've got family who met on there, and it's seen as a valid platform to find your partner.
Muzz began, actually, as you said earlier, as a website in 2011 and evolved into a successful business, a successful app. So how did you navigate the shift from, you know, a matrimonial website to a mobile app? And what were these strategic decisions that contributed to the growth?
Yeah, I think so. For me, it was just realizing that times are changing very quickly, that mobile was going to take over. I actually remember the key decision. For me, I actually looked at where all my traffic was coming from on my website. And back then, and this was 2013, I realized 80% of my traffic was actually coming via mobile. People were accessing my website on a mobile. So I already knew, okay, this thing should be an app. You know, it's the first kind of trigger. And then secondly, there's a lot of things that an app can give you and phones can give you. And what I mean by that, things around security, things around location, you know, GPS. Things around using the selfie as a part of that verification process, things around more native messaging and push notifications, all these things you don't get on a website. You know, on a website in the olden days, you know, I would send a message to someone, I would log into the website, send a message, they might reply a day later, I get an email to tell me I've received a message, then I'd have to go log back in and reply. It's so unnatural and actually quite a painful experience, whereas on an app, it's very straightforward, you know. We're used to WhatsApp, etc. It has that kind of smoothness in terms of messaging. Because the heart of a matrimonial product and any sort of matchmaking product is connecting two people for a conversation, you know, and then you let the two people have the conversation and figure out, are we suited to each other, etc. And if you look at that whole journey, you realize actually apps are the way forward. So some of the strategic things that we did, actually, it was probably the biggest thing that we did was in 2014 when we launched the app, we just shut the website down. You know, I shut that down and I just said, we're starting again from scratch, you know, because this is so different. The mechanics of how it works, the way the profile looks, everything is so different. We're going to have to start from zero again. So in 2014, when the app launched, we literally started again from zero members, you know, and people were creating their profile, filling that in and then browsing other profiles and then talking on the app. And, you know, we literally grew very slowly from zero to one to two to 10 to five to 50, 100 members and grew from there. And then as word spread, then it started growing internationally as well. One of the, I think the more powerful bits about how our app works, and I think what makes it really interesting is the fact that it uses your GPS and your location. So whenever you use Muzz, it's showing you people nearby who are relevant to you, you know, who are in your vicinity, who probably have a similar ethnic or cultural background as you and hopefully are suited to you. Whereas on a website, you don't really get that. You know, you're having to manually say, I want to go and search at this place or that place. So, for us, it was really embracing all the things that smartphones, apps, and the app stores give you to build a product that actually helps Muslims navigate this part of their life.
Well, we know that Muzz emphasizes the serious intentions among its members. So how did you foster a community that values privacy while enduring a trustworthy and safe environment for users?
Yeah, I think this is one of the hardest bit, right? When you're creating a community, when you're creating a platform, how do you kind of guard people, make sure they're behaving the right way, taking action against people who don't? So a few things, you know, we did quite a few things that nobody were doing at the time at all. So one of the first things we did was when you sign up to Muzz, you agree an oath, you know, and that oath basically says, you know, in the name of Allah, you know, I promise I'm going to behave myself. I promise I'm serious and I'm looking for someone. And if I don't, you know, my account will be blocked and removed. So you tangibly and very obviously agree to that, to use Muzz, number one. Number two, when you're using the platform, we have a lot of detection for bad things. So if you're using foul language, it's automatically censored and it gets flagged as well. We make it very easy for people to be able to report anything that they see that's not appropriate. So if someone's being inappropriate, their profile's not appropriate, if they're clearly not looking to get married, it's very easy to report them and have that picked up. So that's the second thing. One of the third things that we're really proud of, you know, we have a 30-strong all-female support team, and their role is helping customers navigate the app, dealing with all the reports, removing bad actors and anyone being inappropriate. And we take a lot of measures behind the scenes where if we remove someone, we make it very difficult for them to come back. You know, we've got selfie verification, we've got a load of other kind of metrics and ways to measure that, and we try and make sure that they don't come back. And so we're very... It sounds strange to say, we're actually proud that we've blocked and removed so many people because, you know, we live by reputation. We want Muzz to be known as, and what we're trying to build is a safe community of people who are serious about finding a life partner. And so for us, defending that and maintaining it is super important.
Interesting. Well, Of course, you know, it's a very successful app. And what are your plans? What's the future for the Moz app?
I think a future for us is definitely scaling globally. You know, so we've, as a startup, we've grown so well so far. And you know, last year we kind of went from startup to scale up. You know, we're really scaling our team, how we do marketing, how we're growing across all these different countries. You know, our app Moz is already live in 15 different languages. It's a global product. For us, it's making sure we're really talking to each market, tailoring the product to each market. There'll be certain features which really work in the Middle East that probably don't work in the US, for example, or etc. So for us, it's really making sure we're tailoring, we're marketing, we're building a brand in all these countries, and we're letting people know what Moz is about, how we can solve their problem, and how we can listen to them as customers. So for me, that's all crucial. One of the big things that we're doing, however, we've actually just launched a social network for Muslims. So we've launched it currently in the UK, US, Canada, Australia, but we're looking to roll that out globally. And the point of that is helping Muslims and providing Muslims with a space, a safe space, free of censorship and moderation, etc., that Muslims can connect with each other, can talk about things that are difficult to talk about, can get advice, can get help, can make friends. You know, that particularly for Muslim women, it's very hard for them to meet other Muslim women and make connections and friends. And kind of for us, what's really, really good to see, you know, we're already seeing it right now in the UK, US and Canada, a lot of Muslim women using the social network to make new friends, build new communities, powerful. And, you know, the ultimate goal of the social network is how can we bring the Ummah together? You know, that's our goal.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much, Shahzad, for giving us insights on the Moz app. And we're looking forward to what the future holds for the app.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Well, have a great day.
Take care. Salam. Bye-bye.